living by spiritual principles. That wasn't what I signed up for, but I was so desperate and willing to do anything it took to get away from the pain that I've been in for, you know, pretty much my whole life. I have some notes here that would come out of the literature a little bit. Our basic text says that the program of Narcotics Anonymous provides an opportunity for us to ease the pain of living through spiritual principles. Like I said, I was in a lot of pain. And when I was thinking about the topic, I was thinking, you know, I struggle with a lot of spiritual principles. I don't have that ton of that much clean time. I've only got 3 years, right? So I'm still I'm working. I'm still every day trying to learn how to practice spiritual principles. But there is one principle that I struggle with the most, and I want to talk about it today. And that's acceptance. You know, my first experience with acceptance, like most of us here, maybe it was in the first step when I accepted that I was a drug addict and I had to do something about my problem. Our basic text says that one of the problems is that we found it easier to change our perception of reality than to change reality. We must give up this old concept and face reality and life and go face that reality and life go on whether we choose to accept them or not. And that is something I struggle with every day. Move back up to my first step experience and give you a little background. So I started using when I was 17 years old. I'm 41 now, so that means I've been using since the mid 90s. And I know I'm pretty old, y'all, feels like it. I've been using for so long that I don't know how to live life as an adult. I started using real young. My dad is a drug addict, and he is still using today. And I went through a lot of pain. I'm a gay man, and in the 90s, that was not easy. Let me tell you, I got my ass kicked daily, and the only way I knew how to live and be myself was to get fucked up and not live in this world. And and that's how I lived my life for all of my adult life. Until finally, I was able to do things like graduate college. It took me 10 years. I went to college high the whole time. And then as soon as I got out of college and got a real job, I started shooting dope and lost everything. I shot dope for all of my 30s, and one of the things that I struggle accepting is that I don't really remember my 30s. I was high the whole time. And that's one of the things that I'm trying to find freedom in by practicing acceptance. But back up a little bit. I had tried every program on the block. I got sent to rehab for my mother's funeral because my mom, she had brain cancer and she died. And I was using that whole time. I was taking care of her. And I was using her drugs and I was using drugs off the street. And she was dying in one room and I was getting fucked up in the other room. And she never saw me get clean. And that is something that I struggle with to this day, is that my mama never saw me get my life together. I was able to, my family, they had enough, and I wrecked my mom's car at her funeral, and they said, you gotta go to rehab, and I got some willingness to go there, because I was like, to do that or be homeless. And I show up at rehab, and I'm not ready to get clean, really. I was ready for the drama to stop, but I wasn't ready to make a change in my life. And so I got out of rehab and started going a little bit to every other program I could find. I hadn't tried Narcotics Anonymous yet, but I'd gone to the other fellowships, and I'd show up, and then they'd say something that I didn't like, and I would run the other way. I would immediately go and try to find something that would allow me to work to get clean my way. I would be able to try to use a little bit on the weekends. I tried to do all the things that we do to negotiate clean time. I finally was willing. I have a friend that I met in rehab, and he started going to the Sooner the Better group of Narcotics Anonymous. And so I thought, I thought I would give it a shot. And I showed up there, and I had put together like 2 or 3 days clean on my own. I show up and I get a white key tag, and I say that I got like 3 days clean, and my friend over there, Jason B., was in the room and he said, that's a long time. And I really believed it when he said that with me. And I started working some steps because that was what y'all said to do. And I was so desperate at that point, I started working some steps. And when I said, my name is Justin, I'm an addict for the first time, that was the first time I accepted that I was an addict. I knew that I was a drug addict going into the rooms. I knew that I was a drug addict, but I didn't know what it took to live clean. I knew there was some stuff that y'all were doing that I hadn't been willing to do previously. And I saw the step working guide and I thought, never in my fucking life am I going to do that as a big book. But y'all told me to keep coming back and I eventually asked someone to sponsor me because y'all suggested I do that. And I started working the first step and I got a real understanding of what powerlessness and unmanageability were. And I was able to see the unmanageability real easy. The powerlessness took me a little bit, but that was my first foray with acceptance. My first like time of ever practicing a spiritual. I mean, I was willing, honest, and you know, some of the other principles, but acceptance was the first real spiritual principle that I ever practiced. And so I continued to work the steps and I got to the fourth step and I started looking at my history. And that's when I really started to experience acceptance as a way of looking at my past. I've been taught that acceptance means, you know, letting go of the fantasy that it could have been any other way. And I looked at my experiences growing up and the trauma of my life. I looked at the experiences I had whenever I was using. I was sexually assaulted. There was a lot of trauma that happened there. And it wasn't, if I hadn't known what acceptance was or how to practice it, there's no way that I would have been able to make it through the fourth step. And I was able to see my part and stuff. And that was another huge moment for me. And I was also able to look at my mother's death and look at all the things around that and how it affected my grief and gain some acceptance of that around that. And that's another time I use that spiritual principle. I'm a little nervous, y'all. You know, it's hard walking into a room and being like, this is the shit that I did. But you know what I love about y'all is that y'all have done the same shit and been through the same shit. And you know, that gives me some comfort today. I don't know how much time I took, but I'm gonna probably close up. But I wanna say, the last thing that I've been struggling with, and I still get fucked up about, is I've got some sponsees that I can't figure it out. And the biggest, I have to practice acceptance every day when they call me, making, you know, all fucked up and high and miserable. My heart breaks every day. But getting some acceptance around the fact that I'm not in control of other people's choices, and that's up for God to figure out. You know, something I struggle with every day, but y'all have taught me that miracles happen here today, and if I can get clean, anybody can get clean. Y'all, and I mean that for sure, because there's no reason why I should be alive today. And the fact that I can be talking to y'all at all is a privilege. So thank you, Joe, and the Hackney Committee for letting me speak, and that's all I got.
All right, our next speaker, KDS.
I'm Katie, I'm an addict.
Hey, Katie!
I'm gonna set my timer so I don't go short or long. All right, my clean date is May 27th of 2006. I know, right? That's crazy. I have a little over 15 years, which is just super weird to even say out loud. When I thought about this topic, our willingness to grow spiritually keeps us buoyant. Seriously, for like a week and a half, I just was saying it out loud and my brain was like, wah, 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 wah. Like I just couldn't process it, you know, and I've learned that I process things differently than other people. If any of you know Quentin Tarantino, he's a movie director, right? Sick. So I'm gonna Tarantino this topic. So Quentin Tarantino usually shows you like the catastrophe ending, and then he works forward and shows you how they got there. So I'm gonna start with the end of this, which is buoyant, and work my way forward. Just stick with me. When I think of the word buoyant, I think of a buoy or something that stays afloat, right? And for me, when I think of how does Katie stay afloat, it means I'm staying clean.
Okay.
Because if I'm not staying clean, I'm drowning, dead, goner, in jail. So for me, to be buoyant means that I'm staying clean. When I think about growing spiritually, I automatically think of working steps or practicing spiritual principles. So this is a spiritual program, and I view myself as a spirit, a human being. I feel like I know that I have a spirit. And something that I love about my spirit is I am defiant and stubborn, and when I make my mind up about something, I can be immovable, which can be a very bad thing or a very good thing, depending on how I use that spiritual gift that I seem to have. I'll give you an example. When I was a child, I was thinking about this on the way here. I was the youngest of 5 children, super low-income family. We never, ever, ever went out to eat. And one night, my dad took all 5 of us kids to McDonald's. And I was freaking out. It was like going to Walt Disney World in my life, right? So back then, McDonald's had these like terrifying play places. And if anybody remembers that hamburger jail, where it was literally a big pole with a giant hamburger on the top with jail bars. So it was time to leave. We had had our happy meals or whatever, and it was time to go home. And I climbed up into that Hamburglar jail and refused to come down. And I remember, just as a little kid, with every fiber of my being, I was like, I'm not moving. Like, good luck getting me out of here, right? And I'm saying this, we'll come back to Hamburglar jail. I'm saying this for a reason. My dad was like 6'4". He couldn't get me out of there, because to climb in, you had to go through this little like 12 by 12 hole. Then you were inside the Hamburglar jail. They had to get an employee to like climb up the smallest one, like grab me by the leg. Once my leg was out, my dad yanked me the rest of the way. I remember kicking and screaming, going to the car, because I was not leaving. Now it's funny, because I don't even like McDonald's, but as a kid, like, that was the place. So I know that even as a child, my spirit and who I was, I have this, I don't want to say defiance, but this gusto, this commitment to things. And when I got clean, I was in so much pain that I knew, like, Narcotics Anonymous is my Hamburglar jail. Like, I am, like, I will not be moved. I have a clean date now, and the only person who can take that clean date away from me is me. I've lost a lot of things. I had my virginity taken away from me at a really young age. I had siblings taken away from me. I had a parent taken away from me. I've had jobs and cars, whatever, relationships taken from me. Had freedom taken away from me. Drugs took a lot away from me. But now I've been given the gift of a clean date, and nobody can touch it, right?
Yeah.
It's like, the only person who's going to take that from me is myself. So I'm not moving, right? Like, I'm like holding on to those Hamburglar jail bars, like, come and get me, I'm not moving. But so I know that I have that within who I am, that I'm going to commit and stick to it as best as I can. And when I get to the part of my willingness to grow, when I think about willingness to grow spiritually, I think about being uncomfortable. I was really uncomfortable coming in here today. I live out in the middle of nowhere on a farm. I'm not around a whole bunch of people. I haven't been to a function. I mean, I go to an in-person meeting every week, but I haven't been to an NA function in a while. And I was like, I'm going to throw myself into service. I'm not even on the merchandise committee. I just started touching t-shirts and moving things like I knew what I was doing to make myself feel more comfortable. So if there's any issues with your credit card charges, don't come to me. But I've learned in this program that, hey, if I'm feeling uncomfortable, throw yourself into service. Ask somebody, how can I help? Get out of self. And I did. I felt good, right? And even now, regardless of clean time or you know, whatever, I still get uncomfortable every time. Even walking into a meeting, I still feel like, you know, who's going to be there? Well, I don't know. Just because I just self-obsessed, I guess. Literature says so. But so when I think about my willingness to grow, I think about being uncomfortable. My willingness to grow spiritually keeps me buoyant. When I'm willing to be uncomfortable and practice spiritual principles, I'm going to stay afloat. I'm going to stay clean. If I can keep myself uncomfortable and I can practice these principles and these steps, then I have a pretty dang good chance at staying clean. You know, I was thinking about, just be honest, share where you're at. And the first part of being honest was that I was uncomfortable. Another part is I'm pretty tired. I'm weary. And this is not, you know, I'm gonna keep it in it, but I'm tired of the world. Politics, pandemic, everything that's going on, separation of people, I'm just tired of everything. Right, I'm worn out, and I'm only 32, so I can't imagine staying clean though I'm like 75. I'm gonna be so like, I'm exhausted. But I'm a little bit weary when it comes to the world, and I find my peace in Narcotics Anonymous because the world is changing, but I look at our literature and the steps don't change. The world is changing, but those spiritual principles that I started practicing at 17 years old, they haven't changed. There's still hope, willingness, honesty, discipline, open-mindedness, self-acceptance. I want a shirt that says that. You better share, shit. That's the next fundraiser shirt right there. Somebody, I should be on the merchandise committee. I naturally get upset and bothered by the world around me, but when I am rooted in the fellowship and in the program, those spiritual principles don't change. They don't change, but if I practice them, I'm going to change, right? And when I think about my willingness to grow spiritually, my willingness to practice those principles, it doesn't mean I need to be perfect. My higher power doesn't care if I'm perfect or not. The willingness means that I'm going to try. If I'm trying to practice those spiritual principles as best as I can, I'm going to stay afloat. Nobody does anything in this program perfectly, ever. Nobody practices spiritual principles perfectly. But when I'm willing and I'm trying, I'm staying afloat. And that's what I love is that there's no, what do they say? There's no example of the recovering addict. There's no perfect anybody. It's if I'm willing to try. And I'm so grateful that I have that Hamburglar jail personality that's like, I'm going to try. I'm probably, you know, I'm going to be real uncomfortable and cry while I'm being honest, but I'm going to try, right? I'm going to be, you know, 280 pounds running at the track, but I'm going to try because I'm trying to love myself today. I'm going to be, you know, in self-acceptance or whatever these things are that are so uncomfortable, and I'm sure as hell gonna try, because I know what my alternative is. I know that when I'm not buoyant, I know what that feels like. This is so random, but I can't shake it. I'm watching my time. I can't shake it out of my head. I really like history. I'm a history I don't want to say I'm a history buff, that sounds really egotistical, but I like history, right? And I'm not going to name specifics, but there was a war, okay? And one of the sergeants, they were the opposite men. They were bum-rushing this home where these other soldiers were hiding. And the head sergeant, they're you know, busting the door in, and the soldiers are like, oh, you know, they're going to kill us. And the head sergeant says, don't worry. They can only kill our bodies, not our spirits. And you're probably saying, like, okay. When I heard that, I was like, man, that's badass. Like, that's badass, right? They can only kill my body, not my spirit. Spirit lives on. But then I thought, I've felt spiritually dead before. And maybe that, you know, Winston Churchill, maybe that head honcho badass guy in history has not felt spiritually dead, because at first I heard it and thought, man, that sounds cool. Like, they can only kill our bodies, man. Like, our spirit lives on. I don't think he said it that way, but like, they can only kill our bodies, and they all got, you know, murdered, not him, but, you know, their spirits live on, I hope. But when I heard that and really processed it, it made me think about a time in my life when I felt spiritually dead. And I don't want to make anybody do anything, but maybe if you took a moment to really think about a time in your life when you really felt spiritually dead, because I think all of us have been there at some point, whatever that looked like for you. Looks different for everyone.
Yeah.
And then here we are today. The world may be crazy. Our lives may be crazy. Whatever. I got 4 kids, man. I'm stepping on Barbie shoes. I got dirty dishes. I'm overwhelmed and exhausted. I can't shower without somebody opening the shower curtain, you know. I feel like I can't breathe 90% of the time. But my spirit is so alive. And this is what I wanted. Forget that. This is what I wanted. I wanted to live. I wanted to be a mother. I wanted to be present in my life. I wanted to feel. I think about how bad I just wanted to feel something. Now today I get pissed off in traffic and I'm like, it's like, wait a minute. You're feeling something. Like, you may be mad, but you're feeling. I'm feeling. You know, I didn't feel for a long time, and I'm so, so grateful for that. Now my phone's gotten all wonky. Oh, okay, good. Look at you. Thank you, because mine stopped. So it feels good to take a minute in this chaotic world and stop and reflect about my willingness to be uncomfortable, my willingness to grow. It's going to keep me afloat. And a lot of times, like, you know when you share in a meeting, and as soon as you're done sharing, you're just, like, so freaking uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You're just like, why did I say that? What did I say? How come nobody else is sharing? Everybody's looking at me. Like, I could have said it better. I should have said this. We all do that. And we all, like, we all pre-think, like, this is what I'm going to share. I'm going to jump in next. Ooh, you know, we all do it. You're not alone. But that, I always tell myself when I'm sitting in a meeting and I'm super uncomfortable, especially after I've shared, I always just tell myself, this is good. This is good. If you feel uncomfortable, that's good. Because you know what's comfortable for me? Shoplifting. You know what's comfortable? Seeing how slick I can be getting your wallet out of your bag or back pocket. You know, like, what's comfortable for me is just taking whatever drugs you give me and assuming it's going to be a good time. Like, the bad decisions are comfortable for me. When I make good decisions, they're typically uncomfortable. What's uncomfortable, not anymore, but for a good probably 11 years, praying with my sponsor, extremely uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And guess what? This is cool, right? I used to be so freaking uncomfortable praying with my sponsor before step work, and then we got to a point where from day one, she'd be like, do you want to say it or do you want me to say it? And I'm always like, you, not me. And by like year 10 or 11, one day we were processing something and I just shrugged and I'll say it. And she was like, okay. You know, and it was uncomfortable, but whatever. Now I've gotten to a point, I've gotten to know myself. I'm not a real touchy person. That's all right. But some people, you know, they're like rubbing and, you know, and that's okay. I have a husband for that, you know, like I don't, like any type of like physical touch, I'm like, whew, unless it's, you know, a child or my spouse, but my children or my spouse. Anyways, my sponsor, when she prays, she always holds both of my hands. And it is really, really uncomfortable for me. And I finally got to this place of acceptance, like my heart's pounding, and I just told her, when you're holding my hands, all I'm thinking about is that you're holding my hands. Mm-hmm. And my mind is going, am I shaking? Are they cold? Are they sweaty? Am I squeezing your hands too hard? Not enough? Should I look? Should I check? What's happening? I'm not thinking at all about her communicating with her higher power or me communicating with my higher power. So I told her, if we say a prayer before step work, can we not hold hands? And she asked me why, and she's like, you waited 15 years to tell me that. I'm like, hey man, my willingness to grow spiritually, I'm uncomfortable. I'm telling you how I feel, and it's gonna keep me afloat. Because now, when we say a prayer together, whether she says it or I say it, whether she's talking to her specific higher power or I'm talking to mine, which we identify them very differently, which I think is awesome. We're not holding hands, and I'm focused, right? The more I learn, it's okay to be who I am. We used to do sponsorship family weekends. Sorry, there's a lot of women in my sponsorship family here. And they would do this thing called the fairy circle, right? Where all the women like sat in a circle, and we all rubbed each other's shoulders. And I was like suicidal. I hated it. We'd be like, oh, before the meeting, let's do a fairy circle. And I was just like, oh man. Like I didn't have an option, you know, but I did. I didn't have much clean time. I just felt like I better do what other people are doing. And now I've learned that when it's time for like fairy circle, I'm out. And that's cool. You know, when it's time to say a prayer with my sponsor, I fold my arms to myself. And that's cool. When I come into an activity like this and I'm super uncomfortable, suddenly I'm on the merchandise committee. And that's okay. Right? As I'm willing to grow spiritually, naturally, I'm going to learn about my spirit. When I learn about my spirit, I'm able to nurture it. When I can nurture my spirit, I stay clean. I'm so grateful for the 12 steps. And, you know, I'm around a lot of different types of people. And I'm always so grateful for the ability to practice spiritual principles in all of our affairs. What that looks like. Just think, well, I don't want to say you. I sound so, like, cocky, but I've gotten so far ahead in life because of the ability to practice spiritual principles. In jobs, people are like, damn, who is she? But it's just freaking the 12 steps in NA, you know? Or just in a hectic situation, the ability to process things or be honest or be open. And other people are like, wow. And then you say, oh, you're like, I'm a recovering dope fiend. And they're like, what? You don't look like it. Like, I guess there's a look. I don't know, but it's always refreshing when people are surprised to find out you're a recovering drug addict. I guess it makes you feel like maybe I'm doing something right. But I'm grateful for the opportunity today to stay buoyant. I'm grateful for our predecessors who put these 12 steps, the literature, practice these things. Even just being in A&K right now, it's so crazy. I didn't realize this was where A&K was located now. Last time I was at A&K, I was 19, and I was speaking at a speaker jam, and I was going through a very bad breakup, and I was very emotional. And the love and support I got from this group, I'm telling you, carried me through. And to you know, be this little teeny bopper girl, like, I broke up with my boyfriend, and to have all of A and K, like, hugging me and loving me, and that right there, like, who else gets these types of opportunities? You know, you find that in the program. I've found that in this program. My exposure, the love, the selflessness, it's beautiful. So I'm so grateful to have the opportunity to learn who I am, to stay clean, to practice those spiritual principles. And the excitement that I feel knowing that I have the opportunity to continue to progress. That's crazy. It talks about, you know, lost dreams awaken, new possibilities arise. That doesn't mean when you get clean. Not just when you get clean. New possibilities. I don't want to be where I was spiritually a year ago. I don't want to be where I was spiritually 3 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago. Because my higher power has provided me this opportunity to have these lost dreams continuously awaken and these new possibilities arise, and that's awesome. And you know, I've been a lot of places, I've been a lot of places, and I've never found freedom like that anywhere else besides Narcotics Anonymous. I'm so grateful for you guys for letting me share and having me here today, and love you, that's all I got.
Thank you.
All right, our next speaker is Keith.
Tell the truth! Tell the truth!
All right. My name is Keith and I'm simply an addict. Hey family, my clean date is 6-10-05, for that I'm real grateful.
Yes.
And I want to thank the Hackman Committee for graciously allowing me to come and be able to give my experience, strength, and hope, especially on this topic, right? Because this topic is real, real close and dear to me, because I got clean in 05, and a year after I got clean, Jesse, this was the theme of one of our anniversaries, right? And at that anniversary, I met my sponsor, right? So this topic is real dear to me. Our willingness to grow spiritually is buoyant. And see, that's where I'm at today, trying to grow spiritual. And your disease knows when you're trying to grow spiritually, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
It sends oppositions your way.
Yeah.
Like at our business meeting today, I'm not going to apologize for being who I was. Because sometimes I got to stand up for something, or I'll fall for anything. And I was taught that the spiritual principles are non-negotiable. Mm-hmm. I'm telling the truth, Debbie. They said tell the truth, right? I'll tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help me. So. I've been doing, this year's been real, it's been real strange. I can't say it's been hard, it's been strange, right? With the pandemic and us coming out of the pandemic and us might happen to go back through another variant of it, you know what I'm saying? I couldn't wait to get out of it. When we got out of it, I went to New Orleans to a convention and I got spiritually filled, and I came back and seemed like I got spiritually depleted, you know what I'm saying? I'm just talking about me, y'all. Maybe I ain't talking about myself. So I'm trying to grow spiritually in a lot of areas of my life. And I find the more I try to grow spiritually, my willingness to grow spiritually, that the disease is still at work in my life, right? And so I know that service works keeps me out of myself. And anyone that knows me knows that I've been at Alive and Kicking for 16 years, and I've been in service every fucking year that I've been at Alive and Kicking. And service has helped me grow up and grow spiritually. And when I got here, it was people that introduced me to service and talking about doing the right thing for the right reason, it's proper service and all this here. I'm just saying thank you, Justin and Katie, for sharing before me, right? Because all I know is proper service is doing the right thing for the right reason, especially when ain't nobody looking, right? But what about when we all looking? I'm just telling the truth. Because I can get in here and practice principles to the best of my abilities if you allow me to. But sometimes it's real hard. I have to get honest, it's real hard. And see, I've come to love Narcotics Anonymous. I'm indebted to NA. I don't know about y'all. I owe the debt that I could never repay to Narcotics Anonymous. See, Narcotics Anonymous did for me what my mama couldn't do, what the church houses couldn't do, what my grandmother couldn't do. It gave me a new life, right? It gave me a better way, a new way to live, right? And I was searching prior to getting here for this. But I searched in all the wrong places and all the wrong faces. And then when I made it to y'all, man, born you to stay afloat. Y'all gave me a something to hold on to stay afloat, right? Y'all gave me the 12 steps and the 12 traditions and the concepts and service, right? And I'm like, man, I ain't never letting go of this shit. I ain't never letting go of this. And through service, I've been able to be passionate and have passion about service and get into it and get involved and give it my best. And sometimes I feel like my best ain't good enough, right? And I still do the best that I can. Man, and I'm just grateful, man, because I don't have to be perfect in this deal.
That's right.
I don't have to. I get it 100 all the goddamn time. I just have to be willing to grow.
That's it.
And still be teachable and open and honest.
That's right.
About where I'm at, man.
That's right.
Because I don't have to hide behind these phony images of what you think I should be.
Yeah.
Because see, I'm gay too. Most of y'all probably didn't know that. But when I come in here, I can be myself, you know, because some people don't like the way the Sally walk. I'm just saying. But in here, it's okay for me to be exactly who I am. The literature also reaffirmed that and told me my best asset is in being myself.
That's right.
So I don't have to come in here and quack like Jesse, walk like Carl.
Don't do it.
I, you know, because I have a twist in my walk. Y'all probably already have seen that, right?
Yeah.
And it's been long before I got to Narcotics Anonymous. I didn't come to Narcotics Anonymous for y'all to straighten out my walk. I came here so y'all could help me stop using. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I didn't come here for relationship advice.
Yeah. Right.
I came here for y'all to help me stop using.
Yeah.
I didn't come here for all those other reasons. I came here because I needed the absence of pain, and y'all said it was over here.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all said, our promise is freedom. Our promise is hope, and the promise is freedom from active addiction. So I got that, and I got with that. I stopped using, and then y'all told me that, Keith, you might want to get with the spiritual principles because you're acting up as a group. And at the business meeting.
Yeah.
And outside in front of the group. and they let me in, because it took a while before the spiritual principles could catch up with me. I just worked the steps because everybody else worked the motherfucking steps. I didn't know about nothing. In fact, I knew, but I didn't care about no spiritual principles. Y'all just said work the steps in there, because everybody else had said they worked the steps and they had a sponsor that they worked the steps with, so I just wanted to work the steps. So now the spiritual principles is coming to play in my life. And I'm really passionate about those spiritual principles. Especially brotherly love, right?
Yeah.
That's my favorite one, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just talking about this addict, right? Because I want to treat you the way I try to treat you the way I would want you to treat, that I want to be treated, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in return, I don't get that.
Mm-hmm.
And then it makes me want to act out, you know, go back to. And I try to not do that, I really do. I just try to press on forward and say, God gonna take care of this, my higher power gonna take care of this. And sometimes he don't take care of it fast enough. I'm just being honest. I'm willing. And I ask him on day 3, are you gonna take care of it or do I have to? You know what I'm saying? I'm just being honest. I have to keep the same 100 for me because see, at the end of the day, I'm who I have to live with, not you.
Yeah.
And I have to be comfortable in my own skin.
Yeah.
So I'm growing, man. I'm really growing, man. And plus, been a lot of has transpired this year, you know. Lost a sponsor. They're trying to work my way and weave my way and bob my way through that and having to take on his sponsor as my sponsor, and I'm still having problems, Jesse, picking up that 500 damn pound phone. You know what I'm saying? I don't know, man. And I try to stay involved in service and come on up here to my home group and bob and weave my way through the home group even when I don't want to. Right, you know what I'm saying? Because on most days, I don't want to. I really, can I get honest?
Yeah.
My sponsor ain't there. Y'all acting fucking crazy. And I'm just saying.
Yeah.
And on most days, I'm acting fucking crazy. You know what I'm saying?
And then I
want to bounce this shit off of somebody. And I want to call my current sponsor, which was my grand sponsor. And I'm saying, he's too busy. He ain't got enough time.
Yeah.
And see, I ain't never had that problem with my sponsor.
Right.
I just picked up the motherfucking phone. And I called him. He said, what you done now? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I said, I ain't getting no sponsor. I was just calling. He said, okay, because he said, you probably ain't getting none because nobody from the group called me and told me. And see, I don't have that. And then that's what's, you know, so I don't know. But I do know that I'm not going nowhere in Narcotics Anonymous. I found a home. And alive and kicking is my home, you know what
yes.
I'm saying? And Narcotics Anonymous is no better place to be.
Mm-hmm.
I venture to those other places, but my hat is parked and alive and kicking, you know what I'm saying? So, I don't know, through this pandemic, I've had to go to other places, and Robin, I don't know about you, but I just, I can't deal with the Zoom. Let me get honest. I tried the Zoom, and it's something about that I like. I'm a contact person. I'm not like Julie. I like the hug. I'm a touchy feely.
Yeah.
But don't get it twisted. I ain't coming on to them. Get that out, man. Because when I got here, it was somebody at the door of Alive and Kicking, and I was so broken, and I felt so hopeless, and that person reached out and hugged me, and there was something about that hug. Man, a loving hug can make all the difference.
Oh, yeah.
That's it. Yeah. That's it.
I don't know if you get with that.
That's right.
So I try to give that same hug that I received when I first walked in.
Yeah.
And some they say the newcomer is the most important. I'm not on most motherfucking days.
Yeah.
I understand that we say that. But on some days, I get it because I need a motherfucking hug. You know what I'm saying? Because the world has beaten me up so much and family issues and other shit. And I just need a hug. You know what I'm saying? So we got to where the social distance, people don't want to hug you. They want to dap you and all this goddamn shit. I'm sorry. You know, I believe that if my higher power that brought me through all that I did in active addiction and brought me to the doors of Narcotics. See, maybe y'all don't know what it took to get me here. It took me 56 treatment centers, 30-something years of active addiction, contracting HIV, and a Jackie Chan ass whooping that minister by crack cocaine to make it back and hold this seat this time come hell and high water. So if he got me through all that, surely he gonna get me through this coronavirus. And it's been proven. See, I can look at my own inventory because during this pandemic, when all the other groups were closed and this fellowship was too, I was out there like a dope fiend and riding around looking for meetings. That was open. I'm talking about what I did. I know what I needed to do to stay clean. And I had to go over there to that other fellowship. And baby, I felt real uncomfortable. But I know I needed to place my ass in a seat some goddamn well. Because Zoom wasn't working for me. I ain't not taking nothing away from Zoom. I like to see you when I'm talking to you. And see, on Zoom, there's something about that. I get distracted real easy. I got kids at home, and they fucking with me. So I need to go to a meeting. So I need to go to a meeting where I can sit down, and the kids are at home. So I can concentrate on somebody to share. So when they share, it reaches my heart, right? Some of the volumes is still flow. And I felt like if I didn't get to a meeting that I didn't say I was going to die, but I was going to die. Because me alone in that house sometimes, and them walls get the closing in on me.
Yeah.
And you're in a relationship with another addict. Man.
Yeah,
I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. And see, I'm responsible for just 12 steps, not 24. You know, I'm just sharing my truth.
Yeah.
I'm responsible for my recovery, not our fucking recovery. So I don't give a fuck what you do, I'm going to a motherfucking meeting. You know what I'm saying? I don't care, and most of you guys know that I'm in a relationship, and it's nothing. My partner knows that when I come up here, I share the truth, right? So I'm not trying to throw him on the bus, but he struggles to stay clean. And see, I'm one of those ones that I know the struggle is real, because I know what it took to get my ass here. And he gonna get clean when he get clean. So stop asking me, when you think he gonna get clean? I don't fucking know. I even know when I'm gonna get clean. But what you gonna do? I'm gonna love him until he get clean.
Yep.
That's what I'm gonna do.
Yeah.
And if it bothers you, go talk to your motherfucking sponsor.
Yep. Oh, man.
I'm not responsible for that man's recovery. I'm only responsible for mine.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, I got to stay clean. But I do set up some perimeters, right? And some perimeters of you using this motherfucker, you must go to treatment.
Thank you.
Before you come back in here. And that's just, the rules, you know what I'm saying? And that way, we can put some distance between the disease. You know, but I wish I could say that I know how to, I have a switch and I know how to turn love on and off. That's not how I work.
Yeah.
So I keep coming back here and I keep trying to stay afloat and practice these spiritual principles in all of my affairs. And the most one I struggle with is practicing them here at the group with all the recovering addicts. Yeah. Can I get honest?
Yeah.
Especially being in service, Jason. Boy. Tell you, these spirits come out and these characters come out and my character defects can come out too sometimes because I cannot remove them. But if you've been here for a couple of 24 hours and you've been working on yourself, you know when you're out of character.
Yeah.
And we have a step we can put on that car. We can promptly admit when we're wrong, right? And I don't have no problem admitting when I'm wrong. I'm wrong. What can I do to make it right?
Yeah.
And I need to do what you say to make this right. But when you're around these more experienced members that don't have the ability to do that shit, just fucks my ass up. Can I get honest? Can I get honest? And I don't put anybody on the pedestal, but I'm so grateful for the predecessor that was around today that had to tell. I mean, man, she saved me from getting too far out there. She said, Keith, clean time don't equal recovery. And she said, you know, regardless of what anybody do, you're responsible for your recovery. Doing the right thing for the right reason. If nobody else does, you got to. Because it doesn't affect, at the end of the day, it affects your recovery, not their recovery. So I'm real grateful, man. So I don't know, man. I'm just real grateful to be alive and be afloat and aware of my surroundings, man, and know that I'm a work in progress, that I have not arrived yet. I mean, I know that 16 years will fit good on a motherfucking pipe. I'm serious. I know that. Man, I'm serious. I've been in a couple of meetings lately and throughout this pandemic, people are throwing away clean time like it ain't about shit.
Yeah.
They're trading it back in. And I'm like, I don't know. I'm still like a newcomer, Jesse. I'm too afraid to go back out and test the water and come back and let one of y'all sponsor me. I'm sorry. And here's another reality. This is my reality. I don't come right back. I take years and years and years before I come back. I don't just go hit no door and say, well, I'm back after tomorrow. Y'all won't see me. What y'all will see is y'all tires missing off y'all cars. Y'all radios gone. Because I know what time y'all go to meetings. You know what I'm saying? I know who leave their purses in their trunks. I'm just saying. I'm that addict, man. When I use, everything goes. So I try to do what it takes to stay here so I don't have to return to that. And so my willingness to grow spiritually, it has to stay buoyant. Because if it doesn't, man. Houston, we got a motherfucking problem. I'm that addict. When I use, everything's up for grabs. See, I'm just saying, you know, I'll say you, him, me. I'm no longer in a relationship. I become community property. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying. That's who I become. You know, you wait here, boo. He needs to tell me something. Man, you know, he's telling me what he needs to tell me. You know, so I don't know, man. I'm just real grateful to be clean, be in the meeting of Narcotics Anonymous. We have to be at a fundraiser for Hagner. Woo-hoo! Hagner's convention! Our own convention in our own city, man. That's wonderful. I live for shit like that. I don't know about y'all. That's when I got to recovery. That's what we used to live for. We traveled and we went near and far. And then this shit with this variant, new variant that was there. I don't know, man. As long as the doors are still open to Narcotics Anonymous, I don't care what's out there, you'll see me in here. That's just for me. You know what I mean? Y'all can stay home on Zoom. I'll say this and get ready to close, you know. I'm so afraid that this is for me, with the Zoom shit, I'll be on Zoom one day and I'll tell y'all to wait a minute and I'll come back and y'all will see me come back to the screen with that Tina Turner wig on. I'm just saying. Because when I use, see, I know how to put I was the addict that I remember one time I had used and I came up with a magic formula on how to get some more money, and I called my mom and told the dope dealer to pretend he had me hostage, and she had to come over there and bring him $500 and played it all the way through. She drove over there at 5 o'clock in the morning. She said, I hit the $500, now where's my son? We're gonna let him go after you leave. He said, go ahead, he wants you to get away safely. She gave him the $500. I didn't come home until 5 days later.
Yeah.
I know how to, you see, because I don't want to put my representative get in front of me. You understand what I'm saying? So I need to come to the meeting and physically sit down in the meeting so you can see my face. Because y'all know me enough to know when something's out of place with me.
Yeah.
When I ain't talking a lot, when I'm not happy and free, y'all know. So I want to again thank Hagner for allowing me the privilege to come up here and give my experience, strength, and hope on this topic, and it's good to see all y'all faces. My name is Keith, I'm an addict. Thank you for the
honor. Yeah.
Thank you, Keith.
All right, we're going to take a break, and then we'll come back and do the auction.
Hey, Keith.
Right on, right here.